This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and good morning. We're back. It is June the 1st. Flip the calendars. 6-1-2021. We've been off for 3 days, and there's so much that's happened. The Knicks, just horrendous. We'll get into that a lot today. The Islanders with a sensational victory last night. The Yankees are they're in big trouble as we speak. DeGrom is, I mean, I don't know what more there is to say. This Naomi Osaka story. Guys, there's a lot to get into. Let's say good morning and welcome in Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Coming off of a restful three-day weekend, although it wasn't a great sports weekend for me because you mentioned the Yankees took it on the chin in Detroit. And for some reason, Anthony Davis decides he wants to get hurt again. He's down with the groin. Don't know what's going to happen in that series. But, yeah, other than that, I'm good. Just peachy.
All right. Well, that's nice. Rick, I imagine you're in good spirits this morning.
Couldn't be better. Well, outside of the Knicks, obviously. I mean, DeGrom is there a more dominant athlete right now than Jake DeGrom?
Nope. Does not exist.
Does not exist. Two-out single, drives in a run. I mean.
And they wanted him there, too, huh? They intentionally walked Williams to get to him. First pitch, boom, base hit.
David, 10 straight pitches, 100-plus miles an hour to start that game. 10 straight. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
He's unhittable.
Dude, they gave the numbers before the game. Gary gave the numbers of the amount of pitches, 99-plus miles an hour thrown, what DeGrom has done compared to everyone else. It's not even it's like he's playing a different game than everybody else.
Well, he is. I mean, you see his ERA is 0.71. His whip, it was in the 0.4s last night at some point. It went up to like 0.57 after he allowed a couple of hits in the fifth inning. His numbers are they're video game kind of numbers.
Yeah, he's. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, seriously, you look at sports in general right now. I don't know if there's anyone more dominant right now than Jacob DeGrom.
Well, who could that possibly be? If we're having that game of who's the most dominant athlete, DeGrom is up there. Who else is even there?
Right now, at the moment,
yes.
With the sports that are going on right now,
at all. Period. Is there anybody that's as dominant as he is?
Otani's been pretty special. He's obviously not nearly the pitcher.
But he's not dominant like this.
Aaron Donald. Pitching.
I don't know if he's this dominant.
Okay, Dave. All right.
Mike Trout before he got hurt.
All right.
You think Aaron Donald is this dominant?
Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL.
Oh, I'm not arguing that.
He's the best player in the NFL.
You think he's...
And he's a defensive lineman. Like, he's the best player in the NFL. Now, he's not a pitcher or a quarterback, so he's not going to have the same kind of impact on the game. But, I mean, you talked about, is there anybody as dominant in their sport as Jacob DeGrom is? Yeah, Aaron Donald.
I don't agree with that at all.
And that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. I'm just telling you, Aaron Donald is the best defensive lineman in football and has been for the last 5 years.
Oh, I don't argue that for 1 second. I just don't think he's at the level of DeGrom. Like, we've seen guys. Reggie White was there, right? We've seen guys at that level as Aaron Donald. I don't know if we've ever seen anything like DeGrom is right now.
At this level, as consistently as he's thrown. I mean, I was going to say, Connor McDavid this season was right there. But, I mean, at the moment, just every single time he goes out. I mean, Aaron Donald is great. Every single time that Jacob DeGrom takes the mound, you're witnessing greatness right now. 13 straight. I mean, it's like, in all honesty, it's like, you know, it was a joke when he went down to, pitching in Port St. Lucie. And the other team was saying, tweeting out, send help. Arizona might as well have done the same thing. Send help, please. Because there's no chance we can hit this guy.
And they stink, by the way, too. It's a perfect matchup. They are. Oof, is that a bad baseball team right now?
Yeah, it's just what you need. I mean, and plus you're starting to get a little reinforcements back, right?
Yeah,
Alonso had a big night. Yeah, who needs
Davis
rehab
not
assignment?
Far off. Pilar is somehow going to play this week.
He played last night. Actually got a hit last night. Came in as a defensive replacement. Actually got a hit. Lugo's back. I mean, did you hear the whole... I don't want to get stuck in this because we got other things to talk about, but then Carrasco now?
Well, I didn't hear. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, he won't be back till end of June, earliest.
End of June now.
End of June, earliest. And Syndergaard's been shut down. So,
well, that we know, yes.
We'll get into... When we talk about the Mets, that could be end up being an issue. But, I mean, DeGrom's been great. Stroman, I mean, Walker's been great.
How good? I mean, Walker's incredible. All right, we'll get there. We have to start out, guys, with the Knicks. We'll get into the Islanders as well, Rick. Guys, that was a bloodbath this weekend. It really was. I mean, at least they were competitive up to a point on Friday. Sunday was a destruction, and I mean, there's no way they can win the series now, right? I mean, are we on the same page that there's no way the Knicks are going to come back and win three consecutive games against the Hawks?
Doesn't feel like it. I mean, it does not feel like it. What you saw in Atlanta, I mean, does not feel like it at all. I mean, it feels like Atlanta's the better team. And this is something we talked about after game one, is, you know, one of the reasons why the Knicks were as good as they were in the regular season is because every single night they showed up and played with a certain intensity that not all NBA teams play with during the regular season. And that's not what's going to happen in the postseason. Like, everybody's intensity level, you know, ratchets up in the postseason. And usually what happens in the postseason, too, is because, you know, you had the whole week going into the series for, you know, Nate McMillan and the coaching staff to, you know, devise a plan to slow down Julius Randle and everything else, is a lot of your warts, they're exposed in the postseason, right? Like, that's usually what happens in the postseason. Like, the things that, you know, you don't do well are highlighted in the postseason. And right now it's been a struggle. I mean, for Julius Randle, it's been a real struggle. And I think, yeah, I mean, what you saw in game four, too, was that the extended minutes on Derrick Rose started to catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the second half, I mean, he made one shot in the second half, scored 2 points. Which, I mean, that's going up against this Atlanta Hawks team, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, wasn't great for the Knicks this weekend. And I want to apologize to all the Knicks fans because I said going into that game on Friday that they had to get Trae Young involved in some more actions on the defensive end. They had to make him work more. They had to hunt him out when they had the ball in half-court sets on offense. And then they had to figure out how to get that offense going a little bit earlier, and putting Derrick Rose in the starting lineup, I thought, was the solution to that. The Knicks did both of those things, and it still wasn't enough. As a matter of fact, they didn't even come close in either one of those games, and in the second half, it just felt like that Hawks team took off. Like, it was a different level of energy, and I think that's because Derrick Rose being inserted in the lineup did take some juice out of him, playing all of those minutes earlier on in the game, and then the accumulation of minutes in games one and game two, they just finally caught up to him. So, I mean, at this point, I just feel like Tibbs is just trying things, and quite frankly, he doesn't have any answers, but I mean, it's hard to say that you can come up with some good solutions when you realize that the other team just has more overall talent. And the Atlanta Hawks are playing their best basketball of the season right now.
You're right. They're better. And it feels like, and tell me if you guys agree, it feels like the Knicks are in over their head, right? Like, Knicks regular season, Ricky mentioned it, they bring it every single night. They play hard. Maybe every other team doesn't do that. But now in the postseason, it's a different animal. And I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest. From what I've seen in four games, the Knicks are not at that level. The Knicks can't compete with Atlanta. They can't compete with Philadelphia. They can't compete with these teams. In a best-of-seven series, from what I've seen so far, the Knicks cannot compete at this level. And I'm sorry to have to say it, but that's my honest assessment.
Well, I think the reason that they do compete is because they compete. They play hard. They play really good defense. I mean, in this series, when you look at it, there is a talent disparity right now. Like, Atlanta's the more talented team. That's really, I mean, what it comes down to. That's
it's not close, though.
No. Well, I mean, again, what's the most important position in the NBA?
Guard. We know that.
Okay, who has the best point guard in the series?
It's not even close.
Well, he's the best player in the series, too, which is a problem. And then on top of that, when, you know, they shoot as well, and they didn't shoot well in the first quarter from three, but, I mean, that third quarter, the third quarter of doom, they go on that 15-5 run, you know, 16 of 27 from three. I mean, that's going to be tough to overcome. I mean, Collins had a great game. He gets 22. And then Gallinari, you know, 21.
He bothers
Trey gives
me
you his 27. I mean, that's...
bothers me.
Who? Gallinari?
Yeah, I don't know
that's
why
the
he bothers me. Is that what it is?
I actually like when Randle gave him a little elbow. He deserved it. Give him a little something-something.
People were so bent out of shape.
It's been too
easy. Take his head off. My God.
It's just too easy right now. It just feels too easy. I got to see Trey walking around doing the, it's cold in here. I don't know, man. It makes... And all the fans, too, and this is why I was getting so crazy before this series. Oh, the Knicks, if I expect them to win the series. If they don't win the series, I just see disappointment. Come on, man. I mean, this is – the Hawks are a good team. We talked about how well this team was playing down the stretch, what they were like when Nate McMillan took over. It's not the same team.
They're better than the Knicks. Let's just be honest. Chris, they're better than the Knicks are. And it's probably not even all that close.
Yeah, we said that coming into this series, Dave. The Hawks have more talent on their team. Like, you brought up the point, like, if you're drafting the top seven or eight players in this series, you're saying that the Hawks have four or five of those guys. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, the Hawks have more guys that you would look at and say, yeah, they're talented NBA players. Like, the Knicks have gotten the most out of the guys that they have on that squad, but... I mean, when you get to the playoffs, because everybody brings it every single night, because there's that intensity and that compete level across the board, like it takes away the Knicks' advantage. And then the fact that you took Derrick Rose off of your bench and put him in your starting lineup, your bench was at a deficit in these last couple of games, where your bench was what buoyed you in the first two games. In the first two games at MSG, the bench was plus 66 in comparison to the Hawks' bench. In the two games down in Atlanta, they were minus 12. So, I mean, that's a huge disparity. And so I just feel like for Tibbs, they've had a formula all year long, and he's wanted to stick to it. And he realized in the first couple of games that didn't feel like that was going to be enough to beat the Hawks. They tried to change it up. So I don't want to kill him for making that decision, especially when I was banging the drum for them to make that decision. But, I mean, it just comes to the realization that the Knicks are not going to be able to get past the Hawks because they do have a talent deficiency. But that shouldn't take away from what they've been able to accomplish all season long.
No, this has been a great season, and it's going to end very frustrating. But you know what? Atlanta is just better. Let's take a listen. 800-919-3776. The head coach of the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau. Are you guys frustrated at the moment?
I don't know if frustration is the right word. I would say maybe disappointment, but there's resiliency to this team. You know, we have to fight back, and we will.
I will say this, all right? Just don't lose it at home in game five. I would hope that I'm going to get a serious level of effort, which I think I will, win that game and send it to game six. Is that asking too much? Maybe it is, but that's all I want at the moment. I know you're not going to win the series now. You're not going to win three in a row, but at least just win one and don't lose at the Garden.
This team will fight.
Yeah.
I mean, what it's going to come down to is making shots. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to. Can the Knicks shoot better? Can Julius Randle shoot better? I mean, Dave, Julius Randle's shooting 27%.
He's awful.
27%. I mean, it just so you know, I mean, regular season, he had a great regular season, most improved player in the NBA. He was close to 46% in the regular season. So he's down from 46% to 27%. And he's shooting 33% from three, which is down from 41%. Just in general. I mean, how they've shot from three is down from what they've done the regular season, which, I mean... Again, how you defend in the playoffs is going to be different and how hard you defend. So give Atlanta some credit. But, I mean, and then also what Atlanta's been able to do, especially over the last couple of games from three. They're shooting well from three. And like you say, when you take that and you couple with the fact that they're the more talented team and they've been red hot at home. I mean, Atlanta's been red hot at home.
Won the last 13 games at home?
Yep.
Yeah,
they were 19-2 in the last 21 at home. So, I mean, they were going to have their hands full. But obviously, you would have liked to have split. But now that you haven't, I mean, like Dave, you mentioned, just muster up whatever you have left.
Home.
Just do not lose. Try not to lose at home. You can't. I can't imagine that they're going to go. That the Hawks are going to come into Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, but I mean, but we can't underestimate how much their confidence might be shaken just based on what happened this weekend in Atlanta, man. I mean, coming back from down 3-1, and you really don't have any answers as to how to slow down Trae Young. Or how are you going to beat this team? I mean, I hear you guys. I hear what you're saying. And the energy in Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night is going to be off the charts just because a lot of Knicks fans, just like you guys, don't want to see them go home in game five. But at the same time, it's just like, how much confidence is this group going to come into game five with? Probably not a whole hell of a lot.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I don't, you know, you might see that early energy. You might see that intensity. But I don't know how sustainable that is. And so... guys, I hear you. I don't want this thing to be over either, but I don't have a whole lot of optimism that this thing is going to get past Wednesday night.
I don't know that you can at this point. I mean, outside of the second half of game two, have you watched much of the series and thought to yourself, the Knicks are the better team than Atlanta? No, right?
No.
No, especially offensively. I mean, it just, I mean, one team, I mean, especially with Trae Young, I mean, he was dicing them up. When he gets in the paint and he starts facilitating, I mean,
they can't stop him.
They can't stop him. They're getting easy shots. It's just, I mean, it's so much easier for Atlanta offensively than it is for the Knicks. Like, the Knicks, it's a struggle. And then, I mean, Bullock doesn't do anything. He's got nothing. You got 0 points from Bullock and 0 points from Quickly in game four. Maybe that changes because they go home, make more, you know, role players more comfortable at home. Maybe that, I mean, that helps. But, I mean, Chris, you made the point. I mean, you robbed Peter to pay Paul. You took Rose out of the starting lineup, which now, I mean, your bench was a huge bonus for you in this series. Like you mentioned, I mean, that bench with Rose on it, they're plus 66. Last two games, they're minus 12. And that's unless you're going to see this spike with the starters by taking Rose and putting him with that starting unit, like all of a sudden, you know, your starters have this big, you know, big bump in production. I mean, you take away from what the bench. I mean, that's been one of your strengths all season.
That's
but
right.
But again, what's the option, really? What's the better option, really?
You don't have one, Rico. And I think that's the issue that Thibodeau has right now. Like, there are no easy answers when it comes to trying to figure out how to slow down the Hawks' offense and then how to get your own offense going. And then I think what makes it even worse is Nerlens Noel being nicked up a little bit as well.
Yep.
Because now you lose a rim protector and you lose a presence on the glass. I mean, the Knicks got killed on the glass in game four. Like, that's a huge issue for them that nobody is really talking about. So, I mean, I like this team. We've watched this team all year long and talked about how fun it is just because of how hard this team plays. But in the playoffs, everybody plays hard. And so when that's not your advantage, it comes down to talent and coaching. And right now, I just feel like the Hawks have more talent. And Nate McMillan is out coaching Tibbs.
Frustrating.
Yeah, see, I keep hearing that. And I mean, there have been some things that you question. But it's like, I mean, it's like you'll be in the NFL. Like, well, this coach is being out, you know, out-coached. Well, look at the quarterback disparity. I mean, this one team has a quarterback. The other one doesn't. Like, Nate McMillan has Trae Young. Right now, I mean, what's – like, we're sitting here talking about it. I mean, obviously, Tibbs would like to keep Rose on the bench because that's where he's best. But what am I going back to? I'm going back to Elfrid Payton?
Yeah, you don't have any options. I mean, you're out of options. The ace up the sleeve is non-existent at this point for Thibodeau.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
DMT, the original version, is back at 6:45 this morning. RJ has spent hours and hours compiling questions and putting this together. So I'm sure it's going to be sensational at 6:45 this morning.
Could I get a cacao, please? Just a quick cacao.
There's no way this is breaking news at 5.
This is breaking. This is breaking news. Give me one more. I'll tell you why this is breaking news. One of our favorite guests. Give me a guess. Favorite guests.
One of our favorite guests?
One of our favorite guests.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
Nope.
No?
Not Jay Williams. Nope.
Jan Blachowicz. No? Jan Blachowicz. Have we had Blachowicz on? I don't think so. I'm going to say Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
No? Yes, no?
It's not Shefty. So.
Not Shefty.
All right.
Is it Greeny?
Nope. I listen to the hint. Can also milk a cow.
Buster.
Buster only.
Yeah.
You ready for this, David?
Yeah. I'm ready.
I'm going to try to help your Jacob deGrom argument against Canty. Jacob deGrom this season. He scored 4 runs, has 3 RBIs as a hitter. He's 9 for 20, 450. Pitching, he's allowed 4 runs in 51 innings.
That's insane.
Craziness.
4 runs in 51 innings?
Jacob deGrom, baby. God, it's nice, isn't it? It feels good to have the best player.
That boy is good. Sport.
He is amazing, isn't he?
He's better than amazing.
Wow.
Didn't I say he was going to be the best player in the sport this year? Not the best pitcher, but the best player. Do we have our predictions?
You have
preseason?
MVP, yep. You
have
MVP.
Did I have him as the
we
NL
could
MVP?
Revisit the predictions.
You do have him for MVP. Correct?
All right, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean,
I'd be happy if he won that one.
He's the best player in baseball.
I'd be happy.
There's no question about
it.
It's not even close right now.
It's not close at the moment. All right, let's get to some of these Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. Al in Holbrook. Al, good morning. Your leadoff spot on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I know we got a long show, so I'm going to make this quick. 2 quick points.
First point is I called you guys last week and mentioned that maybe it was a good idea to start Burks at point. I mean, you're not losing much on defense. We can't stay in front of Trey anyway. And at least now you make Trey work on defense. And you know, and we still get to bring Rose off the bench. You still have your power off the bench. I mean, I think that might be a better idea than stretching Rose thin. And second point is, win, lose, or draw. I mean, I don't want the Knicks to lose, obviously, but win, lose, or draw. This experience is invaluable to like OB and you know and quickly players like that. When was the last time the Knicks drafted a player and he didn't endure a losing season? That his rookie season, like I can't even remember.
Listen, this has been a great experience. I don't disagree with you. And Obi Toppin's been really good. The Obi Toppin looks like a different player in the postseason than he has the regular season.
Yeah, he does look much better. And there's no listen. If you lose in five or six or whatever the case may be in this series against Atlanta, this is not a failed season. This is a tremendously successful season.
Yeah,
I agree with
you. There's no shame in losing to the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. There isn't. I think a lot of fans and a lot of people in the media got really excited when they saw the first round draw just because of the potential matchups. This seemed like the one that the Knicks could compete against. Like the Knicks, you could actually see a scenario where the Knicks could beat the Atlanta Hawks. Now, we didn't realize that this would be a completely different Hawks team than the Knicks saw in the regular season. I guess we should have anticipated that because two of those three regular season games, the Hawks had a different coach than they do now. But, I mean, of the potential matchups, you felt like they had a chance. But, I mean, when you just look at the two teams from a talent standpoint, the Hawks have more talent, and they're playing the best basketball of their season right now. You can't say that for the Knicks. Their best player has been their best player throughout this series. Julius Randle hasn't been the best player for the Knicks. That's a problem. And that's probably why the Knicks are down 3-1 going into Game 5.
Let's be fair. He's been awful. All right? We don't need to sugarcoat anything. He had a great season. He is awful at this very moment. He's terrible. He looks completely out of his element at this moment.
Yeah, but you're asking him again. I mean, this is as good as he was. I mean, when you get to the postseason and you're the best player on your team, the whole goal of the other team's defense is to stop you and force you to do things that you don't do well. And right now, I mean, it's not only that, like the shots he's made, like in the spots that, I mean, he's still getting decent looks, like in spots that he feels comfortable in. He's just not making shots. Like those, I mean, the shots that were going in from during the regular season right now aren't going in.
They are not. And confidence looks like it's shaken with him right now. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, I think guys, more to the point that Rick just made, it's a little bit of a psychological thing because it's like, you know, the team that the Knicks were in the regular season, I think, is more representative of what they've presented in the playoffs. Because I think sometimes what happens with athletes is you get into a situation and all of a sudden you feel like you're slipping. It's almost like you're hanging on a cliff and then you're slipping and then you can't get your grip back again. And then things are happening quick as the games are coming quick and things aren't working for you and you don't know how to get back the thing that you had in the regular season when you're in the playoffs. That's partially due to the players not having experience in the playoffs. Maybe it's partially due to the players did a little bit better in the regular season, probably than they even thought they were going to do. And then, you know, they're in a situation that they've never been in before. I always think back to New England against Atlanta when Atlanta was up by whatever it was, you know, three touchdowns or whatever it was. Atlanta never figured to be there. And then when New England started chipping away, then Atlanta was doing that thing. They're slipping on the ice, and they're slipping and slipping and slipping. They can feel themselves slipping, and they can't get the grip back. They can't get back to what they were. And it's a whole psychological thing, and it's a tough thing. And this is not the
Yeah, but Matt, here's the other thing. But Matt, here's the other thing. I mean, it's the other thing. Like, when things aren't going well, and I don't care what the sport is, do you have somebody that you can go to that can stop the bleeding, that can get you out of it? And that guy's supposed to be Julius Randle. And unfortunately for the Knicks right now, that's not who he is. And maybe it's, you know, it's because it's his first experience, you know, in the postseason, being the focal point of another team. I mean, you saw how that affected him in year one with the Knicks, right? Like, and he talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Being the head of the snake, that's different. And how teams were defending him and everything else. He worked his way through it, and this year he was awesome, and he was most improved player. I just think when you get to this point of the season, like, and I don't care what the sport is, or it's always the other team is not going to allow you to do the things that you do well.
Yep.
They're going to put you in spots that make you feel uncomfortable. And, you know, do you have the talent or you have the ability to rise to that challenge? Or is it one of those situations where, you know, all your warts start to show and you get an idea of what you need to improve moving forward? Like, there isn't – what this team has done this season is amazing in how they overachieved. But it's glaring now when you go up against this Hawks team. Let's not forget, this was a team that last year won 20 games. They won less games than the Knicks won last year.
Mm-hmm.
They won 20. So they're the same kind of story that the Knicks are. Right? They're almost mirror images of each other.
A more talented version, but a similar story, correct?
Well, yeah, and they have different things that they hang their hat on. The Knicks hang their hat on defense. Atlanta hangs their hat on, we have Trae Young and we can score. And we surround him with a bunch of shooters. So when he starts picking you apart, getting in the paint, we dish the ball all over the place, and we got guys that can make shots. I mean, the Knicks don't have a ton of talent. Like, let's be honest. On a normal four seed, like in a normal year, a four seed, like how many of these New York Knicks players would be starting on a legitimate four seed?
One. Going into
probably one.
One. That's it. Julius Randle's the only player. I mean, you could argue that of the Knicks' top eight players on a really good team, how many are you going to play? One, maybe two?
Mm.
Is Reggie Bullock getting a lot of time on a really good team?
He didn't score a point in game four.
Is Alec Burks, is Taj Gibson? I love Taj Gibson. I love what he brings to the table. But is he getting a lot of run on a really good team?
No.
No. Quickly, Toppin? No, none of these guys are.
No, but I mean, they have, I think the bench is really good because that's really what they're comprised of. There's a bunch of guys that are really good bench players. Like, you really don't. I mean, it's Randle had an unbelievable season. Like, unbelievable season. And when he's not at that level, it's going to look the way it looks.
When he's not at that level, you see exactly what the problem is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
98.7 ESPN, of course, supports those who bravely serve our communities, keeping us safe on a daily basis. And we want to tell you about a great event happening this Sunday, June the 6th. The NYPD will face the FDNY in their annual football game, which this year will be played at MetLife Stadium. In honor of the 20th anniversary of September 11th, they've opened a lower bowl at MetLife for fans to attend, and money raised from ticket sales will go to the First Responders Children's Foundation. Make sure to visit Fun City Bowl. That's funcitybowl.com. That's funcitybowl.com to purchase tickets and find more info for a great event for a great cause.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to my guy Rob Marzano, who's on the team, Dave, on the finest, and they're going to get after it, man. I've gone to that game in the past. There is that intensity level. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's going to be fun this weekend.
Well, they can't stand each other, right? They do it for hockey as well, right, Rick?
It's craziness, Dave. Like, yeah, intensity, like, just, I mean, it's almost like playoff hockey, and then you ratchet it up a little bit more. Dude, it's like a huge hits. Like, it's just, I did one of the games with Donnie at MSG, and I got to stand in between the benches. It was insane. It was awesome. Awesome. That one actually went into a shootout. Good
really?
Games too. Oh yeah, they're good games too. Like, there's good players.
What level of hockey is it?
What level of hockey is it? I mean,
is it collegiate level hockey?
I mean, it's that kind of physical. Yeah, I mean, guys running around crazy. Yeah, I mean, there's good players on the teams. I mean, there are guys that have played college hockey. There are some guys that have played, you know, some level of pro hockey. Oh yeah, top couple of lines where both teams are good.
Nice.
Guys getting, like, I mean, one guy got ran. Ugh.
And they can't stand each other. Like, there's a mutual respect, but they can't stand each other.
I would actually consider going to the football game. I haven't seen one of the football games.
You got to go to the football game, Rico. They get after it like that. There is, I mean, it's intense, man. You'd enjoy it. Like, I went to a playoff game they had a couple of years ago at MCU Park out in Brooklyn. It was unbelievable, man. Just being there on the field, like it. It feels like you know, college NFL type of intensity. Like, that's how it feels when you're on the field watching them get after it.
You should offer your services to announce the game on 98.7.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, no, I don't. I'm not going to announce a football game.
Why not?
I go just because I just want to go spectate it. I just go watch it. Just relax. Just dial in as
you
opposed to have to worry
job.
About
calling.
I don't want to be a nervous wreck
from the 36.
I got too much stuff going on nerve wise. Like I got it's too much with the Islanders. Oh, going into OT and the Knicks. There's just too much going on right now.
This would be put you over the top, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's my anxiety level. I got the Open on Thursday.
That's right. Only 2 days away from that since today is the Tuesday. By the way, Canty, more congratulations to you are in order.
Four?
You know why?
No.
Your Virginia Cavaliers are the lacrosse champions of the world.
Chris Canty. Wahoo! Wah.
How about that? We'll take it, Dave.
That's right.
Yeah, not
beat
necessarily
the Maryland team in the finals of the lacrosse title.
Oh, that just makes it that much sweeter. I can't stand those people out on Route 1. Like, I don't even call that school by name. Disgust me. Not necessarily dialed into the lacrosse, but listen, man, it's the University of Champions. We'll take it.
Remember that one time that one seed lost to the 16th seed? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the following year they won the national
won the
championship.
Yeah.
The coach was awesome too. Yeah. That's the problem I have is that I want to bust Canty's chops, but then they win and the coach comes in and the guy's awesome.
Couldn't have been nicer.
Can't get a look for any NBA teams though. Did you see that? Tony Bennett said he can't even get a call back from NBA teams.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to leave.
No, I'm not saying he wouldn't want to leave, but he should have the option though, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
Like he's a really good basketball coach.
He's turned that
coach.
Program from good to, I mean, they're one of the elite programs in all of college basketball now. He's done a phenomenal job. Tremendous job. I have a bone to pick with you, Rick, but I'll do it a little bit later.
Here we go.
No, I do. I think what you did this morning on the pre-show Zoom is embarrassing for you. You know what I'll do now?
I don't understand what I did on the pre-show Zoom. I don't get it. What did I do?
Well, I was on Long Island for a baseball tournament that didn't happen this weekend. Drove all the way out to Yaphank. All the way out there, which, Chris, is just about as far as the Hamptons. We show up. We're there for about 45 minutes, getting ready to play, washed out. Not going to play, turn around, go home.
And who handles your league, the Mets?
What happened?
Who handles your league, the Mets?
Yeah, right? It's a tournament. It's baseball heaven, and I thought they did a poor job. And now I get on the pre-show Zoom, oh, you're on the island and you didn't text me? So is this how it works now? If I ever step foot on Long Island, I'm now supposed to text you and let you know, hey, I'm on the island?
Yeah, because you're never on the island.
But I couldn't see you. I wasn't going to see you. Why should I text you?
Why couldn't you see me? You had nothing to do. Games
what
got canceled.
I had nothing to do?
Well, what else did you have to do? Drive home?
Yeah, we drove home.
Okay.
Pouring rain.
And what'd you do when you got home?
I don't think much.
Nothing.
I don't think much.
Okay. So you could have just texted and say what we're doing. We gotta grab I got lunch at the house, we could have had lunch.
That would have been nice.
Kids could have played.
Well, in my defense, I didn't drive. I drove with another dad and kid.
Okay, that's different. Well, that's different. You could have just told me that. That's fine. I mean, but this is me being selfish too, because I got Milo and Ella and it's raining every day. Like, I'm looking for activities. Although I will say this, the kids watched E.T., the original E.T. for the first
time. Oh, what a movie.
Great film.
Oh, what a movie.
I can't even remember the last time I saw it. Do you remember the movie?
I remember it well, and I remember crying when I saw it in the theaters.
No, of course you were crying. When E.T. gets all banged up, when he's home by himself, then he walks into the
it's hilarious.
When he walks into the refrigerator door, I was laughing. It was hilarious. Or then when he's dressed up as the ghost and he sees Yoda and he starts chasing after he turns around and starts chasing after Yoda.
Great, great movie. All right, we'll bring Siskel and Ebert back a little bit later.
But I did have a question though.
Oh, here we
why when they raid the house to go get E.T., why do they come in spacesuits?
It's a great question.
Because they don't know what he's got.
But you don't need to be in a spacesuit. You don't need to be in a moon suit. Like, they had to come in moon suits?
Yeah, no, it's an extraterrestrial movie. I don't think you have to analyze it like you're watching some serious cinema.
And then how did E.T. end up in the little creek? All of a sudden, how does he end up in the creek like that? Just laying in the creek?
I don't know.
I don't understand that part.
These are all unanswered
either.
Questions. We'll have to get Spielberg on the show at some point to break it all down. We'll do that. We'll do Schindler's List. We'll do all of it.
I need some. I got questions now.
Clearly,
I just watched. It's fresh in my mind.
Can I ask some questions?
As many as you want.
What the hell's wrong with the Yankees?
No, can't hit.
We can't score.
We have real problems here, guys, with the Yankees.
That has been good. Has not been good. They can't. I mean, listen, for that time when they were in again, they had a stretch there where they were, I mean, really good. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, just winning series after series, and now they're in a spot where the starting pitching and the defense was kind of masking what they've been struggling with right now. And that's like Chris's point, score runs. They have not scored enough runs.
Yeah, I want to say it's 2 runs or less in the last, 9 out of 12 games?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
got swept by Detroit.
Yeah, it's not good, Dave. It's not good. I mean, and you had things exacerbated over the weekend against the Tigers, I mean, with some sloppy fielding and, again, the base running errors. Like, we keep having this same conversation about the Yankees not playing fundamentally sound baseball, and it keeps rearing its ugly head. And when you don't have the bats being able to score a lot of runs, I mean, you can't cover that stuff up. It ends up leading to your team losing to inferior competition from a talent standpoint. Like, the Detroit Tigers are not a good team. They're one of the worst teams in all of baseball. And yet you're finding yourself losing to that team, getting swept by that team over the weekend, which should have been kind of one of those weekends where you get things tuned up and you start feeling good about your game going into the homestand that you have, where you got the Tampa Bay Rays for 4 and then you got the Boston Red Sox. You should have been doing that, but that's not the case right now. So, I mean, I don't know how they get things fixed or how they get things turned around, but they got to ratchet up the sense of urgency, Dave. They really do, because they got a golden opportunity staring them in the face.
They're on the verge of, I don't want to say falling out of this thing, but, I mean, it's 5.5.
Stop.
Rick, it's a big number. If you lose the next 2 out of 3, you're now 6.5 behind Tampa? That's a big number. Tampa's better than you are right now. And you're going to be potentially 6.5 games behind them?
Tampa right now is the best team in baseball. I mean, they've won 16 of the last 17 games. So, yeah, I mean, the Yankees have not hit and are not hitting. And then when you take that, and, I mean, Davey Garcia didn't pitch great. Michael King didn't pitch great. I mean, Tyone was, I gave him his, he was okay. I mean, he did, you know, he did a pretty good job, but... No, listen, I don't, but to say it's too early in the season to start saying they're out of it.
I didn't say they're out of it. I said you're on the verge of putting yourself in that situation. If you, God forbid, get swept in this series by Tampa, and you know they would love nothing more than to do that, you'd be staring at 8.5 games behind the Rays.
Yeah, I understand that. I can do the math. I just, at a certain point, I mean, there are things right now, there are positions especially. I mean, losing Voit is a huge loss. Right, like you get production-wise at first base, you're not getting any production at first base. Center field, that's another problem. So yeah, I mean, you got in left field's been a problem. Yeah, I mean, you got three positions that have been you've got no production from. That's a problem. That's a problem. And how do you fix that?
I don't know. What's the answers? I mean, you got 3 with Tampa. You got 3 with Boston.
Yeah, listen, I don't have the answers to those questions. I mean, Judge has been good. I mean, Stanton looks lost since he's been back. Urshela now all of a sudden is struggling. Like Chris mentioned, I mean, the base running has been horrendous.
I mean, what Sanchez is doing on what was that, Saturday? Was that Saturday or Sunday? Whatever. I can't even keep
it straight. Thought it was Sunday, right?
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just run to second?
I don't know why he slowed down. I don't know why he slowed down, why he decelerated. Like, he's not the fastest guy to begin with. Like, I mean, if you're going to go to second, like... Go.
Well, I knew he was caught. The ball didn't get far enough away. And as soon as he knew he got caught, he's trying to figure out what he wanted to do. And then it makes it even worse too. Is then you have last night where he's gun shy. So he's standing there at first in the seventh, and the ball gets away from the catcher. Zunino has no idea where it is, and he's just standing on first because the last thing he wants to do is get thrown
over and over.
It's not good. I mean, double plays,
it's bad.
Well, him trying to take the extra base the last couple of times hadn't worked out. So maybe it's just like, stay on the base. Stay on the bag.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I mean, you're talking about, like you guys mentioned, Detroit being one of the worst teams in baseball.
It stink.
Yeah, they scored 5 runs in 3 games. That's not going to get the job done. And on top of that, you ran the bases poorly, and then you had, I mean, that... I thought Boone's head was going to explode, too. When you had, I mean, the third inning where you had 3 errors in the third inning.
Labor couldn't pick up the ball.
Yeah. Brutal. And he did it again yesterday.
Yeah, right now it ain't good. It isn't good. And I mean, that's really the question, though. Where do you go? I mean, what is the...
Well, you don't have a center fielder.
Well, you don't have a center fielder. Left field's been a problem. Well, yeah, I mean, left field's been a problem. And, I mean, you know, first base, without Voit, you're really not getting much production at all. That's an issue, man. I mean, it's a huge issue. So, I mean, what's crazy about the Yankees is we all expected, and I know offense this year has been down, but if your mindset is the lineup that we've constructed should be one of the best in Major League Baseball. Okay, that the numbers may be down, but still, they'll still be right at the top. Even if the numbers are lower than we expected, they should still be offensively one of the top teams in baseball.
Absolutely.
And they haven't been.
You still have LeMahieu.
By any stretch.
You still have Judge. Now you have Stanton is back. I mean, we know Torres has had a horrendous year at the plate.
Yeah, but he got hot there for a minute.
Yeah, but still, look at his numbers, Rick.
Yeah, but even, I mean, LeMahieu hasn't been the same. I mean, DJ LeMahieu hasn't been DJ LeMahieu.
Nope.
That we've seen over the last couple of years. He hasn't. I mean, then you end up losing a Cole start, which always hurts because he's the guy you're relying on.
What did you lose to this weekend? Scooble, Turnbull, and who?
That's the problem. I mean, you don't even know.
I can't remember.
Was it Mize?
Yeah. Mize, who actually looked good. Turnbull and Scooble?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's not good, Dave. It's not good. But, I mean, this is an offense that's really struggled, man. I mean, it just feels like at the most inopportune times, they come up small. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, usually when runners in scoring position, he's a guy that's money. And, again, yesterday you saw him ground into a double play. The Yankees lead the majors with the double plays that they've grounded into. I want to say the number's like 52.
Yep.
I mean, there's really nobody else that's close. And then they've got 26 outs on the bases. So, again, we get back to not being able to come up with timely hits. And then – outside of that, just fundamentally not being sound and playing sloppy baseball with the errors and the mistakes on the base path. Like, those are things that good teams don't do a whole lot of. And the Yankees have shown us pretty much throughout the course of this season, and we were almost a third through the year, that's who they are. So, I mean, in terms of giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying that this Yankees team is going to figure it out at some point, I'm not sure that we can say that about this team.
I don't know what would lead, and I'm not saying you're saying it, Chris, but I don't know what would lead anyone to believe that the Yankees will just figure it out.
Well, I mean, under Aaron Boone, they've been, what, a 95-plus win team? Like, that's what we've seen. You know, so, I mean, that's what we want to assign them in a normal year. That's the kind of win total that this team is capable of putting up. But right now, they're on pace for 87 wins. So, this is one of those teams that you're just trying to scratch your head about, because from a talent standpoint, when they're healthy, they should be as good as anybody else in baseball. But just in terms of how this team plays and the inconsistency, I mean, it's shaky right now, Dave.
There's too many holes in the lineup right now. There really is. And I mean, listen, let's not forget, too. I mean, everyone's now, sky has fallen and everything else. But there was a stretch where they were, 23-9. They didn't lose a series. I mean, 10 straight series, they hadn't lost a series. So, I mean, there was a really good stretch there. The starting pitching was lights out.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the other thing now Kluber being out, right? That's a huge loss.
He's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah, that's a huge loss for them. Because, I mean, that's really been... And I don't think anyone saw it. Like, there was with the starting pitching for the Yankees has really been
really been good. Yeah,
everyone expected the bullpen to be good. Cole is Cole, but those other guys have been. I mean, that's the starting rotation has been good. Herman's been good. Still waiting for someone. Time. He's still waiting for more.
Tyone has not been great.
No,
I mean, his ERA sits over five, right?
So one of these young guys is going to have to step up. And I mean, Davey Garcia has the opportunity. And I didn't. He didn't pitch great at all.
Wasn't great. Yeah,
he was not great. But one of these guys is going to have to step up.
So do you think it happens? Do you think at the end of the day the Yankees are fine, or do you think that there's real problems here right now? Like they're in real jeopardy of not winning this division at the moment?
Well, it depends on how much you trust Tampa and how much you trust the Red Sox.
I don't know how you couldn't trust Tampa at this point. And I didn't to start the season, and that's my own mistake. And I don't know how you couldn't trust them now. I mean, they're
4-0 at Yankee Stadium right now, aren't they?
I mean, they own the Yankees. They've owned the Yankees for years at this point. Rich Hill I can't believe he's doing this. I mean, they take guys and they put them in positions where they want. Like Michael Wacha's a guy they now put in high leverage situations, and he's fine. I don't understand.
Did you hear? Actually, did you watch the post game at all? Did you see what Tyone was saying about the Rays? Like how much this Rays team adjust during the course of a game, like from at bat to at bat, Like, it's like he's like, this is like no other team that I pitch against.
Yeah, like, the they'll be hunting pitches. That.
No, but I mean, that's, you asked the question, like, why is Tampa able to do this stuff? Is because of, you know, exactly that.
They're amazing. What, when they you put say their they players are, 16-1 in their last 17 games?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, but the Yankees had a really good streak there. Like I mentioned, you know, 23-9, they were winning, you know, they were, what, 8-0-2 in the 10 series. Then they finally dropped the series, and now it's kind of been, you know, steadily going the wrong direction.
But you got swept by Detroit. Like, you could even make the excuse of, well, Tampa right now is just better and they're red hot, but you got swept by Detroit.
Yeah.
You can't defend that, Dave. You can't defend
that. I mean, there's nothing, there's no way to defend that. I don't know what you want to tell you.
No, I'm just, it's bad. Let's take a listen to a little Aaron Boone. Here he is on the offense from yesterday.
First, I mean, Hill obviously shut us down and was real pitch efficient there through five. I actually thought at bat wise against Hill, you know, we hit a number of balls on the screws. You know, at bat quality was, you know, much better than I thought over the weekend. Just didn't have much to show for it. And then they can match you up pretty good. You know, we're just going to keep pouring into, you know, game plans and where we can try and make subtle adjustments with individuals and things we're looking for and searching for, and we'll keep working at it.
I don't know. He makes it sound optimistic, but I don't know how you can be optimistic. And now you get, Tyler Glass now on the other side tonight?
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
That's not great.
I mean, my God. And and here's the thing. They own you, and they love it. And they would love nothing more than to take your nose and rub it in the fact that they are destroying you at the moment, Chris.
Yeah, but that's why I said this past weekend series was so important. Like, this was a tune-up series, kind of get your minds right, get your games right, the approach that you want to have at the plate. Like, everybody kind of get into a little bit of a groove because you recognize how important a week this was. I mean, right now you're 5.5 games back behind Tampa, but I mean, you had an opportunity to gain a lot of ground in this division over on the two teams that are in front of you. And to me, it's just like they squandered the weekend series against the Tigers. And now, I mean, this is a situation where you're not going to call it must win, especially this early in the season. But these are games that you can't afford to lose against the Rays and against the Red Sox. You really can't.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, I mean, look at your division, right? I mean, that's the, obviously what you want to do is win your division. It's the best way to get into the postseason. I mean, outside of Baltimore, I mean, it's...
The division is tough?
Well, not even it's been tough. It's just you're not having great results.
No.
I mean, you haven't played well against Tampa, and right now, I mean, you haven't... You're 3-6 against Toronto.
And you haven't played Boston yet, right?
You haven't played Boston yet. You will now, you know, coming up. And then you're 3-7 against the Rays.
Let's go to Steve in the car. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a problem with Boone now. I mean, I try to put up with it. He's a nice guy in this. But maybe he's not cut out for that job. Those guys need maybe Buck Showalter type guy in there. You know, the little yelling at them. I mean, he never, after his post game, he never once says that these guys are not. I know he can't do that. But he's got to tell these guys. He's got to push them. You can't have a $60 million team.
Steve, but that's why, I mean, that's why you moved off of Joe Girardi. That's why they hired Aaron Boone. It was because he doesn't do those things.
He was too nervous. He wasn't cut out for the job. Buck is the man.
Joe Girardi wasn't cut out for the job.
Oh,
my God.
Okay. Joe Girardi. Yeah,
that's a level of disrespect that we can't tolerate.
I don't know, I think, listen, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for Aaron Boone. I mean, I think, you know, the manager in baseball, you know, coming in and having fiery speeches and throwing stuff around and yelling at his players, I don't know how much good that does in baseball. It's not one of those sports. Like, sometimes the harder you try in baseball, the worse you play.
They were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday.
I just don't.
It doesn't equate to results.
Well, I just don't know. Like, I think Aaron Boone's in a tough spot, right? Like, because, I mean, he's sitting here. And I know everyone criticizes him for, you know, sitting guys when they're hot and, you know, how he chooses to use the bullpen in certain situations. Like, it feels like
Are those his choices?
But that's what I mean. It feels like some of these games he kind of, like, writes off. Like, we're not going to use our A guys because, you know, if we win, great, but if we lose, that's okay, too. I'd rather, you know, lose the battle to win the war. Like, that frustrates Yankees fans. I don't know how many decisions like that he's making. And on top of that, I just, like, it's not easy when you're trying to juggle – some of the things that he has to juggle as far as like trying to manage, you know, guys so they don't get hurt and everything else. Like, you're trying to keep these guys in the lineup, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. Like, Stan's going to finally come back. I'm going to play him one game. Then the next game, I'm going to have to sit him
The DH. It really is remarkable.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.